Growing up in my house, music was always playing on the radio. From Christina Aguilera, Come On Over, to Big Pun, and Hector Lavoe, Periódico de Ayer. Oh, that's my jam. And it reminds me of my grandfather. We used to go to family gatherings with my father's family, and we'd dance, eat, sing, and play instruments. My grandfather would always play the Congo drums, maracas, and guira. You know, the one that goes ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I loved watching how the music made him come alive.
At your father's birthday, we threw a party in the backyard, and she got up. They were playing music. Nobody wanted to dance. She got up and started dancing. 2 years old, everybody looking at her. She's shaking.
That was my mom talking to her friend about me during better times. It wasn't always breezy. I was close to my grandfather, but the last time I saw him was my birthday in 2011, and 2 days later he passed away suddenly. I felt devastated. There was no one for me to talk to, or anyone that I felt understood my situation. I had been writing poetry since the fifth grade, but I couldn't express my raw emotions in words. So I expressed myself through making music in a program called Beatmakers. I thought making beats was cool, but I got tired of it fast. So I mixed beats with my poetry and joined Beat Rhymers. I was really impressed because the teacher Y introduced himself by rapping. I had my poems already written and he helped me turn them into lyrics.
When we say beat, you say rhymes.
Being in the program, there were other students and I fed off of their ideas and energy. It helped me think about social issues and not only think about myself, but things around me. I never really talked to anyone about how I felt because I didn't think anyone would understand. So when things got harder at home, I started writing music more and more. I just pull out my notebook on the train or at the kitchen table when my mom is yelling about something. When I'm writing, it's like I'm in a bubble and I don't care about the world. I never shared any of my music with my family. But then, my sister went to my performance at Ella Lounge, and that was the first time she heard my music.
So, Adrian, how do you feel about the music that I make?
I feel like you're very emotional because of the songs that you write and the lyrics. It's very emotional, like if you've been through heartache, which I don't know why. You're too young to be going through that.
That got me mad tight. I feel like she doesn't understand me. How can she say that? I haven't been through heartache. When last year alone, my uncle was hit by a car and killed, and our mom was shot while visiting friends in the Lower East Side. My mom survived, but she was in the hospital for a week, and visiting her with all the police around got me scared, like someone was gonna show up and try to shoot her again. Beat Rhymers taught me not to let my problems keep me down, but to express it and voice how I feel. The program is led by Y, and I talked to him about the emotion in our music.
The youth chose to go in a very personal approach, using their emotions. So they have a lot of strength to be vulnerable and talk about the issues that affect them in their lives outside of art and bring those issues into art. And in turn, I feel that their strength will translate to the people who listen and give them confidence to hopefully deal with some of the commonalities through emotions and issues that we all face.
Music also affected me in school. It motivated me, made me feel good, and want to go to school.
I think these programs have helped keep a lot of our kids in school.
That's Tom. He's the assistant principal at my school.
Some kids who were checked out beyond at risk, you know, to the point where we're saying, you know, this is a last chance for this kid. Get them hooked into Beat Rhymers, Beat Makers. It's allowed them to say, you know what? I'm worth something. I can do something. And it builds their self-esteem. When a kid's self-esteem is built up, then it makes more sense to do well in school. It makes more sense to try.
I used to be one of those students who didn't want to go to school, but having a program like this made me want to get up and go each morning, although I still get to school mad late.
It was nothing to, like, inspire me to go to school.
Raymond is in Beat Rhymers, too.
So when I heard, like, yo, they got something you might like, Tom told me. He's like, yo, it's a beat-making program. You know, you can start staying after school. And that started making me get my work done. Then at 4:30, I go to beat-making. So it helped me get my homework done and everything. It took my life from a turnaround, and it showed me how to be a better man.
I remember the first time I met Raymond. He rapped about drugs, violence, and women. person and not in a positive way. But as time went on, I got to know him through his raps and actually saw that he was misunderstood. It made me realize that maybe there are other teens who also deal with the issues that surround them through art.
I worked with a student who was murdered, so he was
That's why again. He's telling me a story about a student he used to work with.
He would write rhymes, and he would write very violent rhymes. And he said, I write this because I need to express it, because it's what I see and it's what I grew up around. And he said, if I didn't write this way, I think I would do it. And then when I went to see him the next week in class, he wasn't there because he was shot and killed.
That story shocked me because he was using art to get away from violence, and it still found him. I feel like writing about the violence around me keeps it from taking over my life. So when I heard about a program in Crown Heights that fights violence through art, I was excited to check it out. Then I found out it was gonna take over an hour on the train to get there, and I was like, ugh. I still went though. There I met Armando, who is a visual artist from Brooklyn. I talked with him about how he uses art as his escape from violence that surrounds him. Talking to Armando was kind of liberating. It showed me that there are people out there like me who face obstacles and turn them around to have a positive impact on the world. I want my work to inspire people. I want them to know that you can be faced with bad stuff happening around you, but with a positive outlet, you can turn things around. Like Biggie said, we used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I like the life I live, cause I went from negative to positive and it's all good. I like that line because it means there's always hope. I'm going from negative to positive, and it's all good. For WNYC, I'm rookie reporter Alicia Ortiz.